بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. A very warm welcome to this week's edition of Living the Legacy. On this weekly program, we look at ways and means that we can improve ourselves and how we can live and sustain and one day leave behind a legacy in which we have made our Creator subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with us, and a legacy in which we have left behind a good example for the next generation and which we have built towards our ajr in the akhirah. Welcome to the program where we explore what it means and how to live a legacy. My name is Rehna Omar, and it's great to have you with us on the program today. And inshallah, today on the program, we're going to be learning more on the topic of how to recover from an iman dip. When my producer Mumtaz and I sat down to work through topics and how we wanted to address the concept of living a legacy during this holiday period, one of the topics that did come up was the issue of iman and developing that iman, nurturing that iman and our faith during the holiday period. Now, for most of our listeners in South Africa, Southern Africa, the holiday season may have just begun or about to begin at the time that you're listening to this program. And that is the summer period and another few more weeks of us having very, more flexible, shall we say, less routine schedules. And with that comes up the challenge of how do we maintain, how do we ensure we look after our iman in the midst of so much of the temptations that there are in the dunya. So today we're going to be hearing in the next segment from our esteemed guest, Apa Aziza Hadrani. Apa is going to share with us more on the topic of how to recover from an iman dip. You can look forward to that in the next segment on today's program. But first, we begin the hour with exploring or reviewing the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today, the divine name, Al-Wadud. If someone were to ask you the question, when was the last time you felt truly loved? Close your eyes and think about it. You can probably think of certain people, as well as specific scenarios. And if someone were to ask you how you know that you are loved, you would list the things a person does to express their love for you. If we find it hard to interpret acts of love, we usually doubt our relationships. And when we're able to point out behavior that shows love, this kind of love is not called hub in Arabic, because hub is simply having a feeling of love. This kind of love, one that is apparent and shown, is called wud. Now, wud means love and an expression of love through the act of giving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named himself Al-Wadud, the affectionate. And this word was specifically chosen to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only loves you, but that he shows you he loves you. And if we have been in the dark about this, it's time to take notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests his love for us, for you, for me specifically, every single day. And when you take notice of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests his love for you every day, your heart will melt. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us some ways that Allah shows us his love. In Al-Bukhari and Muslim, we learn, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, he calls to Jibreel alayhim salam, saying, O Jibreel, I love such and such a person, so love him. Then Jibreel will call to the angels of the heavens, Allah loves such and such a person, so love him. And the angels will love that person. And then Allah will place acceptance on earth for that believer. It would have been enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that He loves a person. For what more could someone want? But because Allah is Al-Wadood, the affectionate, the loving, and Al-Kareem, the most generous, He declares this love to the angels, which does not stay in the heavens, but descends to the earth. Because Allah puts acceptance of this person in the hearts of people. What else does Allah tell us about His love? The Prophet ﷺ tells us, Allah the Exalted, the Wise, has said, I will declare war against him who treats with hostility a pious worshipper of mine, and the most beloved thing with which my slave comes nearer to me is what I have enjoined upon him, and my slave keeps on coming closer to me through performing nawafil, which is voluntary prayer or doing extra good deeds besides what's obligatory, until I love him so much so that I become his hearing with which he hears, and his sight with which he sees, and his hand with which he strikes, and his leg with which he walks. And if he asks me something, I will surely give him. And if he seeks my protection, I will surely protect him. Al-Bukhari. Sometimes it is difficult to separate between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being affectionate and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being merciful and him being forgiving. Aren't they all the same? Imam al-Ghazali states that its meaning, al-Wadud, is closer to the merciful. But mercy is linked with one who receives mercy. And the one who receives mercy is needy and poor. So the actions of the merciful presuppose there being one who is weak to receive money, mercy, while the actions of the loving and kind, Al-Wadood, do not require that. Rather, bestowing favors from the outset results from a loving kindness. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Mecca, after the revelation of a few surahs of the Qur'an, the revelation stopped. The tribes of Quraysh made fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left him. So Allah revealed the ayat from Surah 93, ayat 1 until 3, by the morning brightness and by the night when it covers with darkness, your Lord has not taken leave of you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor has he detested you. And so we learn that Allah comforts a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these words. And we too should take comfort. When you are on the right path, Allah will not leave you. He is with you. And he will comfort you. So in order for you and I to truly feel Allah's love in our lives, let's take a few minutes to reflect. Let's take a moment to think about the care that we were given as children. We didn't ask for it. It just came when we were born. Think of your family and your friends. Think of the health Allah gave you in your body. Think of the opportunities you were given in your life. Then look at the world around you, the beauty of nature. It didn't have to be this way. The world could have been bland and ugly, but there is so much beauty that only you can truly enjoy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us, and yet we worship other gods that we make up. They may not be physical statues, but things like money or status. Allah blessed us with bounties. Yet we attribute those blessings solely to people. Allah's mercy descends to us while our bad deeds ascend to Him. And so He sends us gifts in order to bring us closer to Him, though He doesn't need us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Allah Almighty will stretch out His hand during the night, turning towards the one who did wrong during the day, and stretch out His hand during the day, turning towards the one who did wrong during the night, until the day the sun rises from the place it set. Sahih Muslim. And so it is that Allah loves those who return to Him, even though we are the ones in need of returning. In the hadith, we are told, Allah is happier about the repentance of one of His slaves than one of you would be about finding your camel which had strayed away from you in the middle of the desert. Even though we are the ones who turned away from Allah, Allah keeps the door open to us so that we return. It doesn't matter what we've done. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah says, O son of Adam, so long as you call upon me and ask of me, I shall forgive you for what you have done, and I shall not mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky, and were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth, and were you then to face me, ascribing no partner to me, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as it. At-Tirmidhi. And if we leave something for the sake of Allah, and we know that anything prohibited to us is bad for us anyway, Allah replaces it with something greater. Allah makes it so easy to go to Him and be close to Him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. He said to us, whosoever intends to do a good deed, whosoever intends to do a good deed but does not do it, Allah records it with Himself as a complete good deed. But if he intends it and does it, Allah records it with Himself as 10 good deeds, up to 700 times, or more than that. But if he intends to do an evil deed and does not do it, Allah records it with Himself as a complete good deed. But if he intends it and does it, Allah records it down as one single evil deed. Subhanallah. Allah's generosity is so great that not only does He give us, but if we thank Allah for the blessings, He gives us more. And Allah uses the example of possibly the greatest love, that of a mother to her child, and then says that He has even more love and mercy towards us. It is natural for us as servants to love Him, considering that He is our merciful Creator. But what is amazing is that Allah gives us so much so that we can seek to come closer to Him. Sometimes we despair and are unforgiving towards ourselves. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us that our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala descends each night to the earth's sky when there remains the final third of the night, and he says, who is saying a prayer to me, that I may answer it? Who is asking something of me, that I may give it to him? Who is asking forgiveness of me, that I may forgive him? Al-Bukhari. So just take that first step. Make the intention to do one new thing or to fix something you weren't doing so well. How can we not fall in love with Al-Wadud, who showers us with affection daily? So let's explore how you and I can be recipients of Allah's love. Number one, do good. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُ لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ وُدَّهُ. Indeed, those who have believed and done righteous deeds, the Most Merciful will appoint for them affection. Surah 19, Ayah 96. So if you believe and do good, Allah will bestow upon you affection. And when you do good, you are within the realm of Allah's love, and He will show you how He loves you. He is Ash-Shakur, the most appreciative, and will give you so much more than what you gave. And the second is to love for people what you love for yourself. The third is to thank Allah for His affection. When you thank Allah, He gives you more. So thank Him for showering you with love every day, and watch as that love increases. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are the recipients of His love. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are always aware of the love of Allah, and that we love for others what we love for ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and safeguard us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who really, you know, are appreciative and grateful of this love. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. So that brings us to the end of this first segment here on the program. And inshallah, after the break, we're going to be connecting with our guest to learn more. Do stay with us. A warm welcome to the second segment of the hour. And as we find ourselves in the midst of, well, some have already started their summer holiday at the time of this broadcast, and others are preparing for the holidays itself. And the summer holidays, a few weeks where we may not have the day-to-day routine and scheduling as we do, we're focusing on topics that do affect us during the holiday time. And one of them is about our iman. We may notice those iman dips and rises, and especially those dips during the holiday time. And with Ramadan just over 100 or so days away, we do want to be preparing our hearts and ourselves for the month of Ramadan. Our topic today is all about how to recover from an iman dip. And our guest today is an alima and an Islamic educator. She's been teaching children since 2003, and here's the beautiful part. Teaching for her is not her job, but a passion of hers. Alhamdulillah, we are so blessed to have an enthusiastic, passionate teacher joining us on the program today, an educator and Islamic scholar, to take us through the topic of how to recover from an iman dip. So we encourage you to make notes as we go along, and remember, the program will be up on podcast for you to go back to for future reference, and to share the link with friends and family. Mu'allima Apa Aziza, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for having me to
Ameen.
About this topic. Jazakallah khairan.
And for Ameen, it is our pleasure. Barakallah feek, it's our pleasure. How is Apa doing today?
Alhamdulillah, can't complain. We're having good weather, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Above, we start off just by going back to the basics. So if someone were to hear the topic for today, how to recover from an iman dip, one of the questions most of us tend to ask is, why. Why is it that we all sometimes experience this dip or this low in our iman?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. There are many factors that can affect our iman. We know as humans we have two factors within us, which is our nafs, an inclination, and we have our soul, our ruh, which is inclined to do good. And we know that when shaitan promised Allah Ta'ala, it's mentioned in the Quran, when shaitan promised Allah Ta'ala that he will definitely lead us humans astray. So we have two factors within us that we need to consider, that we have, they are fighting for to do good. So our nafs is always inclined to wanting to do what our desire, nafs is our desires. So it will want to do what is wrong. If we allow shaitan to distract us and allow shaitan to overtake us and allow his waswas and his whispers to distract us from the worship of Allah Ta'ala, and this is the reason why we will end up doing lots of sin. And if we do a lot of sins, small little sins even, sometimes we don't realize it, the small little sins that we do that will affect our imans. Another thing is our inclination. Sometimes we are lazy. Sometimes we are out of our, we are maybe out of our homes, and we're feeling more relaxed, more free. And we're thinking that we're not conscious of Allah's watch over us. So we decide that, okay, we can just read our salahs late, or we can rest anyhow, or we don't have to read our Quran. But remember, we are Muslims 24/7. From the time you are born till the day we die and we close our eyes, we are Muslims. Allah Ta'ala is watching us. Allah Ta'ala is sami'un. Allah Ta'ala is basirun. Allah Ta'ala is watching us. He's hearing us. Allah Ta'ala is alimun. He knows everything. And if we are conscious of those qualities of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, it will help us to stay away from sin. So sin is one of the main things that will help, that will destroy and lower our iman, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, we as women experience our monthly, our haid. And this is also, I as a woman, honestly, I don't know if all women, but I know, and I know a few of us, that when we talk about it, after our monthlies, we experience an iman dip because we are not doing our daily salat, our tilawat of the Quran, and we now need to recover from this 5 or 7 days after that. So we see that our iman is gone low. We become lazy, actually, to to wake up for Fajr because you were sleeping through Fajr Salah. And that's also another reason that we as women struggle with as well, is that we, after our monthly, it's difficult. It takes about a week or 2 weeks sometimes to get back onto track, onto our salat and our ibadah routine. So that's the other reason. Another reason is sometimes it's stress. The factors around us is sometimes stress. Sometimes it's responsibilities. Sometimes it's just, the demands of life. But we as Muslims know, and mu'mins, we know that Allah Ta'ala is there for everybody and everyone. We can't allow these outside influences to dictate the levels of our iman.
You mentioned so beautifully, I love the reminder you gave us that we are Muslim 24/7. And I think somewhere in the midst of this very busy, fast-paced dunya, I don't know if we forget that or we just become so neglectful. Mm. And Allah forgive us, we take it for granted, this ni'mah that we have of our deen. May Allah forgive us. Oh. Absolutely, we are Muslim 24/7. Are there any more factors that can make these iman lows worse or more challenging for us? I love how you brought up the very realistic and practical point of, for us as women at the monthly time, that is a challenge coming up out of the haid cycle. Are there any other times or situations you feel that make it more challenging for people who experience, whenever we experience those iman lows, are there any other times?
Absolutely. We are living in such a time, Havida Rehana, sin is so rampant in front of us, in our faces, whether we go on our phones. We don't even need to have, before it used to be, like if you had a TV at home, you would be watching TV, but now it's not even like that. So you would go on your phones and you would be watching movies the entire night. So Netflix, I feel, has been the biggest destroyer of iman for everyone because it's so easy. You don't have to get out of your home. You don't have to leave your beds. You just have to sit there and carry on watching, and I think that has been a really destructive to the iman of so many of our Muslim brothers and sisters. The amount of series they each, comparing how many each one has watched, how much, who has watched, who is on the latest trend of watching each series. So I've been hearing that all the time. So I feel that takes up so much of our valuable time, which can be used for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of that is the TV, Netflix, movies. Another one is music. Music is a real destroyer of iman. Remember, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that listening to music causes hypocrisy to grow in our hearts. And we know that if we listen to music, you can't be a mu'min and listen to music, because it creates hypocrisy within us, whether it's our loyalties with Allah or is it with the love for the music. So if we listen to music, it takes away that distraction, takes away all our understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It takes away our thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are thinking of all those things that are involved in the music. I think music also distracts us and puts us into another type of, it's sort of energy, a haram one, you know? So I don't know how to explain this. But music takes, because I'm not a listener of music, but I hear from those that listen to music, they will say it makes them forget their worries. It makes them forget what they're going through or whatever troubles and difficulties. But we forgot that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Tilawat of Quran, which is so beautiful, which is so calming, which is so soothing, which is a remover for all our problems and not the... So we need to choose between halal and haram. Music is haram. So spending time and listening to music is destroying our iman as well. Another one is adults and children alike is the games that we have in our homes. I don't even know what is it called. PlayStation. Is it PlayStation? Mm-hmm. Yes, PlayStation. those games where kids are spending hours and hours, parents, adults, fathers are spending time, playing games. Salah times are going, Salah's obligations, our duties to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being neglected. Not only our nafil obligations, our fara'is. Our fara'id salahs are being neglected because of these activities. Another one that I feel is also a challenge, and I think this is normal for all of us, including me, is the social media on our phones. It's become the biggest distraction for everyone. You know, if you can sit for hours browsing through Instagram, through Facebook, through TikTok. So social media has been a real a challenge and a real factor for lowering one's iman, because we'll be spending hours on these apps, forgetting the adhan is going, forgetting that we need to read Quran, forgetting that we need to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting that we have other duties and responsibilities as well. So these are things that we need to sit down and think. What is taking up our time? What is it that we can take away? What can we lessen? How can we stop one? Sometimes these apps are addictive. Recently they were saying our cell phones are addictive. Games are addictive, you know, so we need to sit down and see where are we going wrong, how are we going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that hours and hours and is going into these haram, fruitless activities that are not even earning us any reward, and on top of it, earning us even more sin by making us forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgetting our duties to Allah ta'ala.
Absolutely. You've just hit the nail on the target, hit the nail on the head. This is that reality, that all of this is really, it's just draining our time, draining our iman. I think it's about time that as we head into this holiday season, that we put those measures out. Are there boundaries for us as adults, but also for our children? Because it's very easy for us to say, oh, the kids are spending too much time gaming or watching Netflix. But who is enabling that? Who is allowing that? Who are the shepherds? Who are the guardians of those children? It is us as adults. And that change has to begin with us as adults too. Malima, you're mentioning the games, the Netflix, the music, and being an educator, for so many years, mashallah, I'm sure you've seen, as the years have gone by from the early 2000s up until now, where, even young little kids have their own cell phones to use. This has probably, I mean, seeing it as a teacher and someone who works with younger children, you've probably seen how this has impacted so negatively on homes, but children as well, even if it's like learning sabak or having the love for the deen growing deeper in the hearts. All of this must be affecting our children on such a deep level, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's been
so parents, you're hearing this firsthand from a teacher.
How many have
please tell us more.
The majority are having problems from the age of grade 2 and grade 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think now with lockdown, we've had kids, because of iPads for online learning. So I keep asking them, you know, how much of control the parents have over it. So alhamdulillah, a lot of moms have control over it. But on weekends, the kids have free reign. So Allah Ta'ala just guide us and guide our children to, you know, to choose what is right and to and to use and know, you know what is the limits and to know what is right and what is wrong, inshallah.
Inshallah, Ameen. Your students are very lucky to have a caring teacher like you. May Allah bless you. And parents, let's look at this. Allah told us we are 24/7 Muslims. So It doesn't mean that it changes when it's the weekend, right? That Salah is still there. Our duty as parents, as caregivers, our children are still that amana for us. So let's explore how we can bring in more time with nature, more family time, more wholesome time. And we're hearing it directly from a teacher, from someone who is working in the field of Islamic education for so many years, that this does affect and this is impacting our iman and the iman of our children. So let us take stock of it. Let's take action. Let's not wait until it's much further down the line and then we regret it. Let's take action while we can, because Muslims are proactive. We are meant to be proactive, not reactive.
No.
Abba, take us up higher. Lift us up from the stage. Now we have come to this point where we recognize we are aware of all of these thieves that are stealing away at our iman, the thief of Netflix and of social media and of music and gaming. Take us up now. What are the steps we can take to boost our iman, please?
So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْإِنسَ وَالْجِنَّ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah has created us nothing else but to worship Allah. I think we have to be mindful of this 24/7 that we are on this earth, in this dunya, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Islam is so easy and deen is so easy. We know that our 24/7 is easy to be in the worship of Allah. All we need to do is just think everything we're doing is for the pleasure of Allah. So our niyyah is very important. Number one is our niyyah. When we have a good niyyah and we know what we are doing, whether it is for our families, whether it is for ourselves, whether it is for our communities, we put it with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep in mind that Allah, that we are created, we have to know our purpose of creation. So we have to know Allah is watching us. Allah Ta'ala is recording us, whatever we are doing. So know that we are created to worship Allah. Number two is set a routine. It is so important for us mums and dads too as well. Mm-hmm. So I think mums, us as nurturers, for the kids in our homes, for those under us, is to set a routine of starting from the morning with our children. Even if our children are still small, we as mums set a routine of early in the morning, whether it is waking up for Fajr, reading the Quran after that, and a little of Azkar. As our kids grow older, we will start including them into that routine. And I think this is so important. When we start including them into this routine, so not only are you keeping a routine, you are establishing a discipline in your home. And number two, you are educating your child and you're showing her and him by example how the life of a Muslim is. So you are teaching your child as well how a Muslim's life must be. So a routine in ibadat is very important. Whether it is saying, start little. If moms are only reading Fajr Salah, if we are only reading Fajr Salah, say tomorrow I'm going to read one page of Quran for the day. One page of Quran for the day, which is like not even 5 minutes. If you're struggling, maybe 10 minutes. So one page, write it down, have a diary, have some kind of note of it so you can keep track of this. So one day. So remember, we need to do it consistently, right? So consistently, say for a week, I'm going to do one page. Next week, I'm going to do two pages.
third week, I'm going to do 3 pages. That's one way, setting a routine of our lives. And it's easy. Sometimes we're busy. Sometimes moms, we have, you know, responsibilities. Like if we have babies, it's a little difficult. And if you're having little ones, read, read. While the child is nursing, while you're feeding, while you're preparing, while you're making the child feed, read. Whether it's reading your surahs, whether it's reading your tasbih, your adhkar, whether it is having a recording on your phone, it's so easy. Let's install Quran tilawat in our Quran, on our phones, excuse me, on our phones. Let our children, as babies, even listen to tilawat of the Quran. Let our home be filled with deen. Establish deen in our homes in any way that is possible. Whether it is talking about Allah Ta'ala to the children, whether it is remembering Allah, whether it is listening to even a talk of deen in our home. So if our home has a deeny environment, it makes it difficult for shaitan to penetrate into that home and to allow other distractions into that home. So we ask, so one is a routine, and the other one is to establish discipline into our lives. So make a record of it, whether it is a notebook, diarize it, and take that daily, everyday increase on it. So even when we're having our monthly hays, moms, include the azkar, because azkar is allowed in that. You can listen to tilawat of the Quran, and you can read as much azkar dhikr, whether it is of as much tasbih you can read as well. Or even reading. Reading Islamic books would also help us to establish, to maintain that that level of iman, inshallah.
Inshallah. I love, Mu'alima, how you brought in the, you know, that this reality check, that we need to have this routine, and that you said, you know, build it up. Build it up, maintain, and keep building up from there. And you've given us just so much of wonderful advice, so many wonderful tips that we no matter where each of us are in our journey, we can take something from there, pick up with that, and move forward and work towards the akhirah. And that's ultimately what's happening, is when we fall prey or victim to these iman thieves, then our akhirah is being compromised. But you've given us such wonderful tips on how to boost our iman and how to invest in our akhirah. Jazakumullah khair. Walima, you mentioned earlier in the program about nafil ibadah. I'd like to pick up on that again. So can we reinforce more on this topic where you've taught us about the steps we can take to boost our iman? What about the regular nafil ibadat that we can commit to or we can dedicate ourselves to so that we can reduce those iman dips? Take us through a bit of that. Some of the nafil optional good deeds that we can do that can boost our iman, that can raise our iman, that keep us connected and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please.
Some of the, you know, I don't know, I think our demands of life are so busy sometimes that we feel that we become overwhelmed and we have no time and we have no way, you know, of doing extra, but there's enough. Like I said, Allah Ta'ala has made deen so easy for us. Allah Ta'ala has never made things, nothing is made difficult for us. Deen is so easy. A simple one is keep our tongue moist with istighfar. Istighfar is one of the, with so much of benefit, and it's so easy. It is really, really easy. And I think this is easy for us as parents, whether we are rushing to fetch kids from school, dropping off, picking up, in the car, getting the kids ready. It is so easy. So istighfar is one of those actions that have so much of benefit to our lives. At the same time, you are lifting you are boosting your iman, and you're asking Allah to forgive you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said something to this effect, Tuba liman wajada fi sahifatihi istighfaran kathiran. Clear tidings be to that person who has an abundance of istighfar written for him in his book of deeds. So moisten our tongue with istighfar daily. You don't, even if you're not counting, it's fine. While you're driving alone, instead of listening to, you know, something on the radio which doesn't even make sense or it doesn't even benefit us, say, astaghfirullah, 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 or nastaghfirullah, or, you know, any type of istighfar actually is accepted. So even the easiest would be astaghfirullah. I really vouch for this, that istighfar is absolutely necessary in our daily lives. We don't know what minor sins we're doing daily. We don't know whether we're seeing something haram, whether we're switching on our phones and listening to music, you know, by mistake when these videos pop up. So Istighfar is that one. It will wipe out all the minor sins, inshallah. And we can ask Allah to forgive us for our other sins. Another nafil I think is really important as well is durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't have to only be on a Friday. It can be said even during the day, continuously. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's all so much of rewards for each durood. You know, you get the reward of tenfold and so much of benefits as well from durood. Another one is tasbih, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, or la ilaha illallah, to reinforce our iman. So la ilaha illallah is a direct booster for iman. So la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, just la ilaha illallah, are such good is azkar. Another nafil, easy one for us as moms, and I find this with me as well, is while I'm in the quiet space of my home, you know, busy with chores as a mother and as a wife, whether it's in the kitchen, listening to tilawat of the Quran and thinking of Allah at that time, or listening to a talk and thinking I'm learning something. So that's all regarded as nafil ibadat. Nafil ibadat is so easy to perform. After our fajr, when we're having a little quiet time, and if we have wudu before our salat, read the turakat salat, another way of boosting our iman. Turakat, it takes 2 minutes. Get on the musalla, perform the turakat nafil with tahiyyatul wudu, with its salatul ishraq after sunrise. Sometimes we are sitting after fajr and, you know, we have little time. Fit in that little turakat nafil namaz during the day. Allah Ta'ala will help us. We need Allah Ta'ala's help all the time. So turakat nafil any time of the day also, whether it is for salatul shukr, salatul hajat, salatul tawbah. Takes less than 2 minutes to perform. So whether we going out, so we bathing, we have wudu, slip in 2 rakats before you leave the home, ask Allah to protect us. It's much more needed in today's time, so that, you know, when we leave our homes, especially here in South Africa, with all the crime and the danger that we have when we leave our homes, just perform 2 rakats for now, which is so easy. Another important nafil act, and I think this is so important, is our duties to fellow human beings around us. Daily we are meeting people. Kindness to those around us, whether it is smiling, making salam to another Muslim sister, those are all included in nafil ibadah. Remember, Allah Ta'ala rewards us for every little deed that we have. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, because وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرَ يَرَى. For every little good deed, whoever does an atom of good deed, Allah Ta'ala will give you the reward. Likewise, whoever does an atom of bad deeds, Allah Ta'ala will see it and it will be given as well. So nafil ibadat is so easy to perform, whether it's just a bottle of water to the beggar on the street, whether it's smiling at another Muslim sister and making salam, whether it's kindness to another human being, Allah Ta'ala will reward us for it, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen, ameen. Mualima, you've given us such wonderful and very practical tips and so much of encouragement, together with the dose of realism to realize and to recognize how our iman is being affected by all the choices we make on a daily basis and what we allow to enter our hearts. But then you've given us lots and lots of encouragement and wonderful tips on what we can do to boost our iman, together with setting up that routine for our ibadah. And at the same time, also the nafil ibadah that we can do on a daily basis. But I think over and above everything, at the starting point, one of your first statements just stood out so, so magnificently. It was about being Muslim and knowing you're Muslim 24/7. You're Muslim till the day you die. And I think holding that as our identity, we pray, will take us forward with building our iman and being able to overcome those iman dips, whether it's during our haid days or after that, whether it's during the holiday period or any other busy time or stressful time or just any day that we experience that iman dip, but we know we can come back to building our iman and connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and returning firstly to the fara'id of Islam. Mualima, it's been such a pleasure learning from you. May Allah bless you and your students, and we look forward to linking up with you again in the next year, inshallah, to learn more from you. جزاكم الله خيرا.
جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been hearing from Apa Aziza Haturani. Apa is an alima, an Islamic educator, and has been teaching little children since 2003. She shared with us on the topic of recovering from an iman dip. The program is up on podcast and you can listen back to it, take down notes and gems, as well as share the recording with others. That's all we have time for on today's edition of Living the Legacy. Do join us next week as we continue this journey of living a legacy that pleases Allah. Until we meet again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.